Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Tuesday morning in New York City, what is up? It is the Boomer and Geo program on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We come to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. The number is 888-808-1019, should you choose to call. Boomer and Geo are out until after the holidays, so you've got myself and Willie Colon until 10 o'clock, and a lot to get to. Now, you just heard Fliegelman and Bogish wrapping up with the football. We will get to that because there's actually a lot of news from the NFL as we get closer and closer and closer to the start of the regular season. Now, well, about 9 days away with the Cowboys and the Eagles, and of course, Jets and Giants will start next Sunday. We will get to the Yankees at some point, too. They were kind of more the theme yesterday morning, and we kind of bypassed the Mets on Monday. But today, it's more Mets-centric. As I say good morning to Willie Colon. What's up, Will?
What's up, Jerry? Feeling good? You looking good? I guess we're here.
We are here.
Doing the damn thing. So
we're here doing the damn thing.
Doing the damn thing.
That's exactly right. And the Mets did their damn thing yesterday. And I'll tell you, on a number of levels, you know, you're not going to overreact to one win just the same way you don't want to overreact to one loss. It's more you react to the winning streaks and losing streaks. Yep. But I thought a good bounce back win for them last night in a game they fall behind. Things weren't going great. Kodai Senga has become a human rain delay. It's amazing with, you know, Steve Traxel back in the day used to be mind-numbing to watch. He was a good pitcher, but he took forever to throw the ball. You would think in the day and age of a pitch clock that it wouldn't just be so laborious. And, you know, you're watching Senga, and he's in 100 pitches essentially through 4-plus innings for a guy who's supposed to be your ace. That having been said, the bullpen was phenomenal. And how about, I can't even say this, the clutch two-out hitting from the Mets last night. What the hell was that?
Yeah, in reference to Senga, I was surprised that he started off so rocky because he had his normal rest, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that was troubling, too. Like, I was like, man, this guy should be on par. But I think you make a good point, especially after, you know, being able to stack up two wins against the Braves, having 21 runs, and then being able to have that, you know, kind of rally yesterday and win 13-3. I thought, I'm a big fan of talking about momentum and morale, man. I think they showed grit and heart yesterday.
They did.
Which was big. And then it was just fun, to your point. It was fun to watch, see how they rally. You talk about Turner, you talk about McNeil, you talk about all those guys at the back of the lineup really delivering. It was good. It was a solid win for the Mets.
It was very solid. And I know you didn't get home till like 7:30 or so. So yep. The game starts. I know you missed to the top of the first inning. And the game starts with what looks like a strike three call on Trey Turner. I mean, it's the same pitch, at least in my opinion, from watching it. The same exact pitch that Pete Alonso later in the game was called out on strike three was thrown to Trey Turner. And you almost wonder if Senga gets that strike three call, is the night for him a little different? Who knows? Turner then hits the triple, winds up scoring the run. But the Mets, again, I don't say bail him out. It was 3-0. It wasn't 9-0. But the Mets offense really sprung to life. It was amazing. You mentioned Turner. That bottom part of the order for the Mets last night was awesome. Big. Jeff McNeil was fantastic. You know, how about Luis Torrens knocking the ball?
How about Tyrone Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, so you had that. And this is the guy I talked to. I was talking about on the Sunday show I did, you know, if Mark Vientos is going to continue to be this version of Mark Vientos and not the Vientos we saw April, May, June, and July.
He's hot right now.
Mets are in a lot of games.
Batting .387, man. He's hot. But I watched an interview with him yesterday, and he said something that kind of stuck out to me in reference to, I think, what a lot of ball players in general, more of a universal thing, like how to keep it simple. Staying out of your head.
Hit ball.
Yes, that's it. And I thought when he said that, it made sense. For me, I guess a ball player to ball player, because I can tell you how many times where you're not playing well, you're wanting to be an impact player in some form, and you're just overthinking it. So for him to say that, it could tell us like he's kind of had that Jesus moment with himself, like, hey, man, you go play baseball.
Yeah.
Enough.
Baseball. I also think that's easy to say, too, when you're going good. I mean, when you're going bad, I do feel like you analyze everything because stuff ain't working.
I was that guy when I played. I'd always kind of look for little details that I wasn't doing right or little nuances that maybe I thought was hindering me until you realize, like, man, go play. like enough. Go play. Right. Let's not get in your
back
own
to instincts.
Way. Yes,
100%. You know, it's interesting because there's two schools of thought. I believe Tony Gwynn back in the day was the type that had the notebook and had notes on every single pitcher he faced, so that he was very analytical when he went up there. And you saw what an unbelievable career he had. Correct. And I believe Keith Hernandez has talked about this very much like what you're talking about. It was more just see it, hit it. You know, recognize it, hit it, and didn't overthink things. And he had an unbelievable career, too, arguably a Hall of Fame career.
Right, and I also think if you're in the Mets right now and the way they played against the Braves and that, like I said, once again, having a big win last night, now it's about start stacking them, right? Now it's about, like, all right, don't take a step back, especially when we talked about the back of the lineup really producing.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I can't imagine how frustrated Mendoza is with Senga, but you got Manaea tonight. And he has to deliver. So it's about being consistent.
Well, a guy like Sean Manaea at this point is, I mean, it's only August 26th now. We're not mid-September yet. We certainly can't start thinking about, you know, playoff rotations. I know we had some fun with that yesterday.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they're still a long way away from making the postseason. I know the Reds lost last night, so they gain a game, which is great, but there's so much baseball to be played.
What are they, six back there?
Six or is it five?
Okay.
I think it might be six.
Okay.
Six. He is six. Either way, you know, with 5 weeks in the baseball season to go, if you told me they won the NL East, wouldn't be shocked. If you told me they missed the playoffs completely, I wouldn't be shocked.
Right.
Like, there's so much still that we have to go and to get through. But for Sean Manaea, if he does plan on making an impact in the postseason in terms of being in the starting rotation, like, it's got to start and start now. And he's got to be able to get through six innings,
but that's
as
always,
opposed to what we've seen.
But that's the last time we talked. That's what they want out of this bullpen. Get us through five, right? Like enough. Like at some point, it's time to show up as this thing starts to tighten and we start kind of finding our lanes and kind of pushing towards September. You need that type of production. And it can't be, it can no longer be inconsistent. Like it has to happen for this team, to your point, to get to the playoffs and be where they want to be.
No doubt. And then so the other thing about last night, which was goofy, and I don't know how much of this you caught, but did you see this delay with the, I mean, this was the dumbest thing I've ever seen with these parabolic mics in the outfield. And so, and to be honest, watching it and Gary, Keith, and Ron, it seemed like, you know, they didn't know if it was Alec Bohm or if it was Brandon Marsh. Doesn't matter.
What
whoever it was. So that's
a satellite?
At first, it's the parabolic mics they use.
Okay.
So it was very interesting. At first, they really thought, I guess TNT is doing the game tonight coming up. So they thought that TNT had put those mics up in preparation for tomorrow. And it was like 2, 3, maybe even 4 minutes into the conversation where someone must have gotten in their ear, their director or producer told them, hey, guys, those are ours. And so then they found, you know, photos and video from last season when those parabolic mics were out. But what was amazing to me was how long this took. This was a 9 to, I don't know exactly the time, but it was somewhere between 9 to 10, 10 and a half minutes when this game was stopped. And what impressed me about the way the Mets handled it was, I think it was the first pitch to Marsh, right after they removed the microphones. You get a ground ball to second base, inning over, Mets come out in the bottom half and put up a run.
Yep.
And that crowd, you know, you talk about winning games like this and, you know, it's only one, but it was a big game to get started in the series to not have one loss turn into two where they can, you know, kind of freeze it where it was. I thought it got the crowd right because the crowd felt it on TV. It felt like a postseason type of atmosphere.
Mm.
And that delay was just a killer.
Took the air out of it.
But the Mets did a great job of coming right back and putting together some good at-bats, taking the lead. And from that point forward, they kind of just flew to the wind.
Excuse my ignorance, but why did they move it? Like, what was the, like,
I
how,
guess
was,
they
how
were
was
saying
it hindering the game?
That's I my, guess they're saying it was in their vision, the batter's eye. Which, to me, I don't understand because it wasn't during, they were saying it was mostly an issue of, I forget exactly what, it doesn't matter. Those microphones are left corner, right corner of the black.
Okay.
They're not right down the middle. You can even see that, how close they are to the fans.
Sure.
So if a fan that is sitting in that front row is wearing a white shirt, are they going to remove them? Honestly. I mean, the whole thing was silly. And now, I think Gary Cohn at one point was, you know, wondering if it was a little bit of gamesmanship on the Phillies. So that was a pretty good question because I was thinking the same thing. Like, there's no way that there's,
I don't know how you pay attention to it if you're in the box.
I agree.
You're batting right now. Like, why? What does the mic over it.
I guess what they were saying was with Senga throwing from the right side, the right-handed release, it wasn't an issue. But when they brought Castillo in, who was throwing from the left side, it bothered them. I don't know. I mean, I got to get in the batter's box to see that. But it's amazing to me that that's never been an issue, and last night it was. So that was a good question from Gary, but both Keith and Ron kind of shot it down, saying, no, it probably was annoying them, or they could see it, or... But I don't know. It is what it is. I was just impressed the way the Mets responded from that delay. And one other thing, and this is just a throwaway line on my part, because I just this is something I battle with baseball and with baseball fans. And this was a big conversation for me on Sunday as well, with the whole pitch count thing.
Yes.
So as that delay is going on, how many pitches did Castillo throw? Just curious. To stay warm.
Probably nothing.
No, he threw a ton.
Oh, he did?
Because he's trying to stay loose, I'm saying.
Oh, I got you.
He warmed up for a half hour because Senga was so all over the place. At one point, Gary Cohen says during the broadcast, he goes, you know, there's Castillo in the bullpen. He's throwing a complete game already out there. Right? But we don't count those pitches. But it's so funny.
But this is, I mean, to your point, doesn't somebody slow him down?
I'm sure he was slowed down. Right. And I know, and trust me, I understand there's not the same stress level when you're doing that. But you're still throwing constantly for an hour before you're in and around pitching in a game. But all we count are the official pitches. That's why the whole thing's goofy.
Yeah, my interpretation of that, like I know I would have to use the bathroom in between that. And that would be an extra delay.
I get it. I'm sure some guys did. I'm sure they didn't come off the field, but I'm sure some guys did go into the clubhouse and do what they have to do. One other guy that really needs to be mentioned here. We mentioned Vientos. We mentioned, you know, Luis Torrens, who drove in five, had the home run.
In the really seventh, right? He had that one in seventh.
Did a great job. Out of the bottom of the order. Jeff McNeil. You know, he's another guy. We talk about Vientos. You know, I don't want to dismiss what Jeff McNeil has been offensively of late. And even last night coming through again in a couple of big spots. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about all of a sudden not having to rely on Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, and Juan Soto, who the three of them, Soto was on base a bunch. He walked a couple of times, had one base hit. Lindor, I think, was 0 for 5 or 0 for 6, but was on base with an error. Alonso, not much last night, though he did start a rally with a base hit. You didn't need everything from those three guys last night. And to me, it's refreshing to see contributions from other parts in the order the way they did last night, and situational hitting, which was, again, a sight for sore eyes.
Yeah, I mean, he was 2 for 4 last night. I think he had 3 RBIs.
Yeah.
And I think what's important to what you're saying is, overall, man, you need a spark, and he's been that spark for me. And I think moving forward, you know, we talked about if Lindor, Alonso, and Soto aren't hitting well, where do they go? When you have this type of contribution, you said, okay, we have people that can study the waters, then we're not falling dry out there. But I think, to your point, man, I think he's been probably one of them players that does get overlooked a lot because we're so focused on Soto. We're so focused on Alonso. We're so focused on Lindor. So, yeah, give him his flowers.
Give him his flowers. That's exactly right. So a good win for the Mets last night. They gain a game on Philadelphia, gain a game on Cincinnati, who got shut out by the Dodgers last night. And I don't think a ton of time needs to be, you know, spent on the Yankees this morning. They did what they had to do. I only saw a little bit of this game. I watched the highlights. You know, I think to me, this is a lose-lose type of series for them. They have to win. They've got to beat a team like
the
Nationals.
Well, you want to see them beat the teams they should beat.
And they did. At least last night they did. And they did it with, you know, a lot of power. They hit home runs again. Aaron Judge with a base hit, driving in a run. For the most part, when you look at this team, the one thing that I'm going to take away from last night, and you've sensed it, I think, if you've been watching the games, Cam Schlittler can pitch at this level.
Yeah.
This kid is really
filthy.
Good.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's probably his first time through a lot of these teams he's seeing. Same thing with Nolan McLean for the Mets so far in his first couple of starts. But he looks the part, and on a team that is looking for that third guy, behind, at least in my opinion, behind Fried and behind Rodon. I think for much of the year it was Will Warren. I still think Will Warren's a good pitcher, but this kid is, you know, just watching him, it's fun. And he's got a variety of pitches. He looks like Garrett Cole from behind.
I just said the same thing. He looks like a split image of Cole. And to your point, I think for a kid this young to have that confidence, right? We talked about what Volpe's going through and watching how he's struggling with just being in his stripes. I thought he looked great last night. I thought he just commanded the mound and he was just delivering.
Yeah, and he gives you the start you want. It's not a 4 or 5 inning type of outing. I think he could have pitched a little more last night, but you know they were winning big. Makes sense. Get him out. Did a nice job. Struck out 7 or 8. He really pitched well. And, you know, we talk about the Mets. The Yankees are going to be in the postseason, so it will be interesting.
Well, their schedule's easy from here on out.
Well, in some spots, at least over the next week or so, it does toughen up for sure. But they're good enough. They're going to be in the postseason. I have no doubts about that. It was interesting, though, you know, listening to Evan a little bit yesterday, and talking about, you know, lining up the starters and how do you do it and when do you pitch Max Fried. To do that, you need to make sure you got guys behind Fried and I guess Rodon too that are going to give you a good performance. And if I was a Yankee fan, every time Cam Schlittler is on the mound, I feel pretty good about my chances about winning, or at least that he's going to keep us in a game.
Yeah, especially when you talk about, I mean, when the Yankees hit in bunches like they did last night, they're fun to watch, right? It's situational, right? You talk about one thing the Mets have been doing, man. I mean, they killed with runners on last night. I think they were 11 for 30, been 11 for 21, 11 for 31. I mean, that's what we need the Yankees to do. Start playing better in situation. We know when we got Jazz and those guys hitting, we're in a good spot. But overall, to be more balanced and start really being the Yankees we want them to be, we just need more from all sides.
And that's what, to me, what was so, I don't know if refreshing is the right word, but it was fun to watch the way the Red Sox played the game on Saturday. And it wasn't about the home run ball. It was station to station. It was driving the ball in the gaps. A lot of two-out hitting. And that sounds pretty familiar to what we saw last night in Queens. So, which and something we haven't really seen all season long.
Right.
I mean, at times, maybe. But a game like last night, they had so many opportunities. Just look at the Atlanta game. The Atlanta game, to me, was the complete opposite of last night. They're in Atlanta on Sunday. And again, you've got your foot on the throat of the Braves. You go for the sweep. You've got the early 2-0 lead. That third and the fourth inning, they can't drive in runs when you've got guys on second and third. It happened again late in the game. Yesterday, they made sure they came through with runners in scoring position, and it was
You said it yesterday. I think you were spot on. When they were up 2-0, man, we just thought, like, man, here comes the knife. They're going to put it right through them, and it didn't happen. So it was good to see the way they responded today when they got up. I mean, they started off 3, they were down 3, but was able to rally.
Yeah.
But it was just good to see them kind of say, all right, let's go get this thing.
13 unanswered runs last night. The Mets take the opener from the Phillies. You get Sean Manaea coming up this evening.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, welcome back. Bill Fortub Studio, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. It is the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So Lopresti was here yesterday. I saw him in the newsroom before the show, and he sounded disgusting, quite frankly. He was not feeling good. He was hacking up a lung. He looked bad. I think he was better as the day went on during the program. But I also said to him, listen, we got football starting next week. I got to work the Cowboys and Eagles. I don't need to be sick. If you don't, you don't. You need to be there next Sunday with Bart on SNY.
Yeah.
And so,
but listen. I mean, your kids are older. I don't know what your situation, Bogus, but having two little ones, like you got to be on the job, Jack. I can't be walking around with the sniffles. My wife ain't trying to hear that.
Yeah,
like, this
no,
is go time.
I get it.
School starts next week. She's like, I need you on the job. I can't be playing sick.
I'm beyond all that, but I understand. I am very appreciative, though, that the man to my right has stepped in for Lopresti, who is home, I hope, sleeping. And that is Andrew Bogish. What's up, Andrew?
Guys, it's good to see you. I'm happy to be your salvation here, keeping you away from Cilla, who, by the way, was sick at the end of last week. So yesterday was like day four of him being sick and not going to a doctor.
Well, that's what I said to him yesterday. It used to be when I would get sick 3 days, you'd be probably feeling better. It's for me a week now, and sometimes longer. That it does not get out of my. I don't know why. I
mean,
it's
sweat it out.
I don't know what it is. The viruses are stronger these days.
Nah, we're weaker.
That's it.
Yeah, you're probably right. We sleep less.
Now, a quick question. There is a large box at CeeLo's desk of my favorite whiskey. It's addressed to him.
Whiskey?
But do I get it today because I'm him?
Who sends CeeLo whiskey?
There's a huge box of Jack Daniels.
His lover?
At his little cubicle.
Really?
Yeah.
I take it. What do I care?
It seems fair, right?
I guess. I don't know. He didn't show up today.
Are you a Jack Daniels guy?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Jack Daniels so long. I mean, I don't drink anymore, but I just remember having drinking it a long
time. I mean, I got some outside.
Now, don't tempt him. It's 6:30 in the morning.
Pounding Jack.
I know a guy.
Not a nice thing to do.
Will, you want to talk?
Let's do some baseball. Plenty of offense here in the city last night. The Yankees barely gave the Nats a shot in their first of three at the stadium.
1-1 to Jets. And a high fly ball down the right field line. Way, way, way back and gone. A two-run homer for Jazz Chisholm. His third two-run homer in 2 days. And the Yankee lead goes to 7-0.
I also like that's not a bat flip. That's a bat toss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that thing's out. And let's enjoy this thing. That's pretty good.
It was measured at 390. The only question whether it was fair or not, and it was down the right field line. Dave Sims called it here on The Fan, of course. Three homers in two games for Jazz. This one setting a new career high of 25, breaking the mark he set for himself just last season.
He likes his fastball, just getting on top of the fastball, getting my pitch and driving it.
That's Jazz on Yes. Last night, a two-run bomb off Brad Lund, fifth. That gave the Bombers a 7-0 lead. It was 10-0 through eight. And then a hiccup or two from Yerry De Los Santos and Mark Leiter Jr. They combined to allow five runs in the ninth. Leiter serving up a grand slam to Jacob Young after De Los Santos got into all that trouble. So the Yanks win their second straight 10-5, but nothing changes in the division. The Jays down the Twins 10-4. The Red Sox a 4-3 win in Baltimore. The Mariners also outscored the Padres 9-6, so they stay a half game behind the Yanks for the second wild card spot in the AL. The Mets, meanwhile, spotted the Phillies three runs, nice of them, before remembering how to hit.
The 1-2. Tagged in the air, deep right center field. This one on the way, Bader back. It is gone. Luis Torrens, three-run bomb to right center field. What a night for the Mets, who were down 3-0. It is now 10-3 New York in the bottom of the seventh inning.
I've heard this call now, you know, a bunch of times. Keith Rad seems so happy for Luis Torrens.
Maybe a little surprised, too?
Maybe, yeah, I suppose. But he really drove the ball well last night. That was great.
That was the Luis Torrens game last night. Maybe the three-run blast, a career-high tying five ribbies for the Mets catcher, who's trying to take advantage of the extra PT right now.
Yes, yes, feel better for sure. But the most important thing, you know, when I help the team win, is the what feels good.
Torrens postgame on Odyssey Mets Radio. His time as the Mets prime catcher might not be that long, though. Francisco Alvarez somehow was taking BP pregame yesterday with that sprained thumb. And Carlos Mendoza said Alvarez may go on a minor league rehab assignment later this week, which is far ahead of any schedule they gave us when he got hurt.
It'd be interesting if he really can play through this, but more than that, can he play through it and produce the way he was? Because, I mean, he was making a pretty significant difference, and if he comes back and he's a zero, you know, yeah, and understandably so, you know, not that Luis Torrens is Mickey Mantle all of a sudden, but at least you know he's healthy.
Yeah, I think the question is whether Alvarez can actually catch. Now, it's his right thumb, so can he throw? Because as they were saying, I think at pregame on SNY last night, the Mets don't have room for another like DH rotational guy. When he comes back, he's got to catch to be in the lineup there, because between Vientos and now Alonso sometimes, like Marte,
keep Beatty in the lineup,
gotta keep
when
Beatty,
you can.
Like, right, so they if Alvarez is back, he needs to be the catcher. That's the easiest thing for their lineup. So that's the thing we need to see if he does go to the minors later this week or this weekend, how he's throwing the baseball.
Yep.
Back to last night, 13 unanswered runs for the Amazons. They win 13-3, cutting the Phillies' lead in the East down to 6. Mark Vientos stays hot, two RBI doubles, including the tiebreaker in the fifth, and five relievers with five nearly perfect innings, allowing just a walk after Kodai Senga struggled again. 4+, three runs, six hits, and three walks.
Yuck. That's it. Yuck.
Yeah.
And he battled, and I know he got through a couple of tough innings, but it's just, I'm sorry, 4+ innings from your ace at like 90-something pitches is just not good. And it's all we keep seeing since he's come back from injury.
Yeah, and the inefficiency is just
agreed.
Maddening.
You saw Mendoza absolutely frustrated. You just thought he was just like, all right, dude, I'm asking you.
It's a hard watch.
Get us through the fifth. And just don't walk this guy. And he struggled.
Phillies gave him some help, though, because they probably should have scored more runs earlier in the game. I don't know why they held. Was it Bohm who they held at third base?
I could see. Yes. But I also think when, you know, in the first inning, they were talking about the, this is going to sound like Brandon, the Phillies chase rate is like the highest in baseball. And yet he's still having trouble putting guys away.
Yeah.
And just maybe they gave him some help. Maybe they didn't. It's still not enough for what you need out of your number one pitcher who's not pitching like a number one pitcher.
No. So, but again, they win last night, 13-3, the final in Queens. Of course, game two in that series is tonight. Elsewhere last night, the Reds took a 7-0 loss at Dodger Stadium. So the Mets' cushion for the last wildcard spot grows to 2.5 games. And then there was one. Not surprisingly, Micah Parsons is the last player holding in with week one looming. But Dak Prescott unbothered. This is how it goes in Dallas.
When you're here in this organization, this is just how you see things are done, whether they're right, wrong, or whoever has their view about them. But what I think that does help is allow us to just stay focused on our jobs and us understanding that us putting energy toward any of that doesn't help.
Well, he's a guy that dealt with it last year.
Yes, and we had a CD Lamb situation as well as just what they do.
It's interesting, and we'll talk about this, obviously, with the other NFL stuff coming up at 7 o'clock, but just quickly on it, this is nothing new. It never changes. And last time I checked, you tell me the last NFL player that sat out an entire year. I mean, these things do get worked out, whether we like them or not. Jerry Jones has a weird way of doing it. I can't argue that, and I wish he wouldn't, you know, go on the Stephen A. Smith show the other day and talk for an hour. The documentary, he's been, you know, I know it was about him, but, like, there's a lot of Jerry, and I totally understand that. But I also know that at the end of the day, he takes care of a hell of a lot more players than he doesn't.
Yeah, people don't understand. He takes care of guys he drafts.
I know.
And people kind of scoff over that. But also with that, one thing I appreciate about that clip, and I think this should be a universal rule for a lot of ball players in reference to speaking about their teammates' contract situation, keep your hand out of your teammates' pocket, right? Like, you heard that kind of do a great job of walking around if Micah deserves the contract or not. He's like, we got to focus on ball. I've been in a situation. I know how frustrating it is. And I think sometimes as players, because they get a mic in front of their face, they feel like they have to say something on the situation. You have to say nothing, right? That's that man's situation. Even though he's an impact player and he's technically a captain next to you, let that situation handle yourself. Because if Dak does speak in that situation, it only adds to whatever the whole circus that's going on around him. So I'm glad Dak kind of just was political about it and stood away from
Very much so.
Yeah. You don't need to name names unless you want to, but were you ever around a teammate who was wrong in a contract fight with the team? Did you ever think a guy was picking the wrong fight or didn't deserve what he was asking for?
I don't necessarily think picking – well, I'll say this. I think sometimes it was more the timing of the situation that bothered me, right? Like, I think the offseason has a lot of room to handle things. Picking a fight with the ownership while you're in the mix of – trying to, you know, position yourself to make a run during the season, I think that's troublesome because it's a distraction. You get asked about it. The guy's grown to, you know, so I've seen guys handle it.
It's a very weird dynamic from the standpoint of I am not going to argue with anybody who tells me how good Micah Parsons is. I've watched him. I love watching him. He's a great player.
Yeah.
I have also seen him on the field when the defense gets run over like a freight train.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can do that with him. They can do it without him. And I'm not saying that he should go be looking for discounts or anything like that. But if, in fact, they did have this verbal deal worked out back in March, I mean, I tend to think Jones is usually pretty, you know, he's
I think he's going to honor it. But I'm never going to be, I'm not a Cowboys fan, and I'm never going to jump on a desk with Jerry, but To our what we're trying to say here is like these things work itself out. He pays his guys, right?
He does.
It's just a matter of when it's a matter of when and how much Micah really is asking for. Because he's asking for.
I'm sure he wants to be the top paid defense. Exactly. And I don't blame him. I get that. But there's also you know the Tom Brady effect. As much, I'm sure he might even have a piece of Gillette these days. Who knows? But the way that he never was ever the top paid quarterback, knowing they needed help, you don't see that often.
Well, his stance was like, I'm in the business of winning Super Bowls, and I need guys around me who are committed and quality players. Like, if we're just paying guys who are, you know, if they were just paying me and we don't have guys that kind of go win a game at Pittsburgh in December, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So that's.
And I think it's as much as they have, you know, Dak makes a fortune. And to me, the quarterbacks, I can argue this all we want.
Yep.
they make too much money, quite frankly, but whatever. CeeDee Lamb got his contract. You know, he paid DeMarcus Lawrence back in the day. You can't pay everybody the top dollar and then pay other. It's very difficult. It's a very complicated situation.
Well, they're mad at Jerry because he had an opportunity. He should have paid Dak back in 2018.
Yeah, I know. You know, when he does, he costs himself more money.
That's it.
And the same thing has happened in this case, I'm sure. Yep. It will get worked out at some point. They're not trading him, but it is what it is.
That's what I was going to bring up yesterday, and you're going to get to McLaurin and to Trey Hendrickson, but it seems like most people are giving the Commanders and the Bengals like the mini win in those negotiations. Like they got more of what they wanted than the players did. I don't think we're going to have that same sentiment when Parsons gets done. It's going to be, again, that the Cowboys cost themselves money by not doing this on a better timeline.
He's going to get paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's what we know.
He's also a different contract. Neither one of those guys is ever going to be the highest paid wide receiver or defensive end.
Right.
But that's what he's going for.
Very true.
Here in New York, Sauce Gardner, Tyrod Taylor remained out of practice yesterday, but Aaron Glenn said both remain on track to be ready for week one. The Liberty had Breanna Stewart last night for the first time in a month. She missed 13 games with a bone bruise to her right knee, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 21 minutes, an 81-79 win over the Sun. The Libs now 18-7 when Stewart plays. And Venus Williams back at the U.S. Open last night, her first major appearance in 2 years, number 25 total for her in Queens. She did fight her way into a third set, but then lost to the 11 seed Carolina Muhova. Carlos Alcaraz followed Arthur Ashe Stadium with a straight set win over tall American Riley Opelka.
All right, Andrew, thank you very much. We will see you next hour. When we come back, I am going to, selfishly, I am going to give you the update on the bat situation from yesterday. I will do that. We're going to get more into the football for sure in a few minutes, and your calls on the other side as well.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair, and the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, coming on 10 in front of 7. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. I'm going to take one call, and then I'll give you the update real quick, and then we are going to turn our attention at the top for a little while on the NFL because, as I mentioned, 9 days away from the start of the season. Let me just get Mark in South River in. What's up, Mark? Good morning.
Hey, Jerry Willie. Thanks for taking the call, man.
Yeah.
Jerry, I've been a Cowboys fan since 1972. Long time. But you know what? The Cowboys are so complicated. But here's just a couple things. First of all, what you said is accurate. When he's on the field, Micah Parsons, sometimes he's transparent. I've seen people say, well, you know, he gets double-teamed. Well, you know what? Not a big Giants fan, but you know what? LT got double-teamed a lot, too. And he still made it happen. And as for the other thing, these big contracts, they're killing the Cowboys.
Yep.
You got Diggs, you got Prescott, you got Lamb. After we do these contracts, we have no more money left to pay anybody else.
Well, Mark, that's a lot of the issue. How do you keep everybody happy and still have enough money to... And this is for any NFL team. This isn't just a Cowboy thing. Look what the Bengals are going through, which is what we'll get to in a couple of minutes because, again, there's a lot of contract stuff going on in the NFL, and that's all part and parcel for what the NFL has become. You watch the documentary with the Cowboys.
I've watched a little bit. It seems good.
Well, it's a lot about, obviously,
the makeup of the Cowboys.
Yeah, when he bought it and then when he bought the team and the Jimmy Johnson thing, but the way they built that team and then when the salary cap took place, it really broke that team up, which is, you know, the way the league is now, which is why it's remarkable to me the run the Patriots had, which is just incredible. And now what the Chiefs are doing is very impressive. It's hard to do if you don't spend the money properly.
Yeah, but, reference to the Patriots, like, that's what made Bill great. He was able to take low-level talent and make him great. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? On top of that, realizing that Brady was going to be who he was, but Brady also realized, like, I'm not going to go for the throat every time I'm up. I want to build this team up so we can make consistent runs to win a Super Bowl, and they were able to do it.
And they always added pieces and the right pieces, and they didn't draft particularly great.
No, nobody would thought Wes Welker, Edelman, and Amendola were going to be guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just from their makeup and body size, Those guys are studs and stars in New England because of Brady and that outfit. So, but that was what Bill was able to do. And he was able to build a pretty much a kick-ass defense. You know, you're talking about Rodney Harrison and Willie McGinnis, on and on, Richard Seymour. So, and those guys played together for a long time, which helps. And they were able to make, you know, significant runs.
And won a ton. We know. NFL Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. More on the football coming up in just a couple of minutes, especially with the Giants and the Jets, but also with the Commanders, very relevant to the Giants for week one. We'll do that in a couple of minutes. Real quick, though. So, at this time yesterday, I told you about this whole bat situation at my house.
You've been running loops in my mind about
bats.
This. Yeah.
Yes. So I told you I had a guy coming over yesterday. Very great. I mean, I called him on Saturday and Monday, no problem. He said he was going to be there. What time? He was there right on time. And so he's like, all right, so what's the situation? So I told him. He's like, have you seen them? I'm like, oh, we've seen them. Like, they come out like a machine gun. There's like 6 to 8 of them. So he said, you know what? It's not terrible because it could have been more. Apparently, we called within the proper time. Mentioned the whole
dusting, right?
What's this? Well, yeah, but more so because they're a what do you call it? A protected species,
right? We're talking about a window where you can actually capture them and
we're
move
in
them.
The window,
right? Yeah.
So I will tell you, not a terrible process at all. He put up this contraption, if you will, where they can get out, but they can't get back in.
Mm.
And he thinks within a week they will be gone. He seals it up, closes the deal, and that should be the end of it.
How did he look? Did he fit the bill of? Does he look like a? Oh, okay,
jacked. Like this dude.
So he
came
looks
in,
like
Rambo. He looked like Bat Rambo, and that's not all he does. It was Coastal Wildlife. The guy's name is John. He was like phenomenal, but he came in. He's like, "What's the situation?" I told him, "Like, this guy's gonna get the job."
Right, but that's where I'm exactly where I'm going. For certain situations, you want to see the guy pass the eye test.
Oh, he passed the eye test, right?
You don't want to see a fat guy that's like breathing heavy and just like, okay, where's the bats? Let me see if we can handle
there
this.
There was none of that.
Yeah.
What was interesting was now I talked to him and he's like, I've got a bunch of jobs. He goes, what are we dealing with? He's like, we dealing with raccoons? I'm like, are we dealing with squirrels? What is your problem again?
Yep.
And I'm like, uh-oh, if I say bats and he freaks out, I'm like, no, it's bats. He goes, no problem. Oh, thank God. No problem for you.
I would have freaked out. I would have left you. I'm like, listen, I'm going to call the guy.
I don't
can handle the bats.
Not to mention up on the roof.
Yeah, like, the whole situation sounds dangerous.
All I kept thinking about was he's going to go up on the roof. I don't know what he's going to do. But what if when he's up there, they come shooting out and he falls off the roof?
Well, that's why I asked, you know, what did he look like? Because your certain demeanor and your physique can let you know if you can handle a fall, right? If a fat guy falls off a roof, it's like, all right, this guy just, we may have to call the paramedics.
Now, I don't know about that, but he looked the part.
Good.
And he did a very good job. Should be settled within a week. I did have one guy sent me an email. I apologize. I forget his name at the moment. But he told me, and I thought this was funny, because he's probably very right. He goes, had the same problem. He goes, just go put mothballs up there.
Mothballs.
They will be gone in 24 hours because they hate the smell of mothballs. And then go up and seal it.
I didn't know mothballs have a smell, dude. Is it?
Mothballs? Gross.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever smelled a mothball.
Am I got that right? Mothballs.
Yeah, they drive away insects. That's what usually people use them for with clothing.
You just stick them, but where do you put them? You just put them around?
People put them in their closets, don't they?
Yeah, or if they're storing stuff long term, you know.
Hmm. You never heard that, huh? I don't know. It smells pretty gross.
I don't think I've ever smelled or knew what the smell of a mothball.
Well, maybe go buy some at your local Home Depot and sniff some mothballs. So anyway, so he says just put them in there. But I'm thinking, no, if I've got to put my hand in there and they come out, I'll be the one falling off the roof.
Right.
So I opted not to do that. The one funny thing about mothballs, before we take a break, when we had the groundhog issue, I figured everyone says the mothball smell is so terrible.
Yeah.
I put them in like mesh bags.
Gotcha.
Tied them up and I threw them down the tunnel. So a couple of days later, I go out to check. I swear to God, I wish I had a camera on this thing because the bags were thrown out the tunnel.
Oh, man.
I found the bags.
Like, get this trash out of here.
Yeah, it was like the groundhogs.
And we're not leaving, by the way.
They didn't leave. So when the guy came like weeks later, I left them there because I figured the smell maybe would finally get to them. He walks in. He's like, oh, that's cute. You tried mothballs. groundhogs eat mothballs.
Oh, no way.
Which they don't, but his point was they have no effect on them whatsoever. Right. But all I could think in my head was, if I had a camera on this groundhog tunnel, you would see the bag come shooting out a couple
throwing,
of different times.
Throwing you the bird at the camera.
We tried. We tried. Hopefully we do have it under control.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.